Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
The Survivor Specialist, Phil and Will, are back, and we are here with another episode of Everything You Need to Know About, and we're talking Genevieve. And first of all, Will, welcome to the series, man. How's it been?
Good. I mean, I honestly don't know what to expect from this. I kind of am here to see what you do. Lead the way for me, but I'm down to talk about Genevieve. I'm a huge Genevieve fan. I don't feel like I needed to do that much prep, although I did rewatch a couple episodes of 47, but we just saw that season not that long ago. She's one of my favorite cast members of 50. So I'm here. I'm excited. How do these work?
Pretty much we're just talking about everything you need to know, man. How old she is, how she did on her first season, what she was known for, all that.
Yeah, I don't know how old she is. I don't know.
That's not important for you. Will doesn't know
that's
that.
All I needed to know for this podcast, and now I've dropped the ball. That was everything you need to know is her age.
I literally just wanted to know her age and her last name, and that's all you had to do, and you blew it, Will.
Don't know her last name or how to pronounce her last name, at least. Mushalok.
I think it's Mushalok, yeah. It's pretty good.
I had never heard that before. Look at everything you need to know. I feel like these aren't things that you actually need to know. I think you need to know about her Survivor game. I don't think her age and how to pronounce her last name are as important as her first appearance on Survivor.
I will say the age is a lot more important when you start talking about people like Jenna Lewis and Colby and Stephanie and Sari, who we haven't seen in a while. But yes, with people like Genevieve and Kyle and Camilla and Joe and all the 46ers and 45ers, they're a little bit older. They haven't aged that much. But Genevieve finished fifth place on her first season, season 47, and was known as a strategic force. And I think she's probably the person from the new era that people are most excited to see. Maybe you could throw Q or Emily in there, but it feels like Genevieve is the one that people are kind of doing a prayer circle for right here, right now. Will, I know you love her. Do you feel like this is warranted?
What, the prayer circle or being excited?
Like is Genevieve the one you're saying, please find a way?
I think so, just because of the snubs from the new era. Like Jesse and Carolyn getting snubbed, like really, like who's the standout of the new era? I guess you could argue Q is like the guy, but Q is not coming in with a particularly high threat level, whereas Genevieve, compared to most of these new era, the new era people aren't that strategic, it feels like. Maybe outside of Dee and Kyle, who are both winners, and they have their own problems because they're the only two winners, as far as we know, on the season. Whereas, like, you look at the rest of the new era, it's like I just mentioned, Q is there. Yes, Emily was strategic, but again, Emily was more revered and liked for her growth arc and her how she was kind of this abrasive, aggressive player that was kind of socially awkward, and then she came into her own, and she did have some strategic prowess later on. But if you're comparing Emily to Genevieve, who's more like strategically threatening, it's Genevieve every time. You look at Joe. Is anyone thinking Joe is a big strategic force? Not really. Jonathan, he's there for challenges. That's pretty much it. So I guess Camilla's there. But again, Camilla's nowhere close to Genevieve. So I think that is absolutely warranted in that, like, she needs the most help, or she has one of the biggest targets on her back going into this season. Absolutely, that's true.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when you're talking about what do you actually need to know other than that people love Genevieve, it's how much she controlled the votes that took place that she was a part of, right? You think about the Saul boot. You think about the Keyshawn boot. Genevieve wasn't a passenger. She was a pilot the entire time. You even go as far all the way down to Operation Italy. It was fun because we're doing that other series with John and McKenna where we're doing the defining episodes of each player. And Joe's was easy, right? Because Joe's is the Eva thing. And figuring out Colby's was pretty easy if you're only looking at Australia because it was the Jerry boot. A lot of the new era people, though, it was pretty easy to figure out. But Genevieve felt like she had three or four of them. We ultimately ended up selecting the Keyshawn boot because that really felt like
that's right
the start, right?
Yeah, and that felt like solely her. Whereas I think the Saul boot would have been the other one to go for. I think Operation Italy, there was too many other cooks in the kitchen, if you will, making Italian food, making the pizza and the pasta. But the Keyshawn one really felt like she drove that home. And there was a whole blindside going on already. Like, Rome was supposed to go home, and she said, no, I'm not okay with it. This isn't good for my game. I'm going to take charge. I'm going to make something happen. I'm going to make sure Rome and Saul can get on the same page here. And then when she gets at Saul later, I think that would be the other one that you could argue too, because she was kind of the driving factor in that. She obviously had some help. There was more people on her tribe at that point. I believe, what was that, like final 11 or something?
It was final 9, I think. Oh, no, it was final 9. That, you're right. It was 10, final 10, 10, but Caroline didn't have a vote.
Yeah. So more people needed to like come together on that. So I think you chose the right one, her defining episode. But really, to me, what stands out about Genevieve is timing. I think maybe not so much in the Keyshawn one, but for her to, when she makes her big moves, she thinks a move ahead and is saying, okay, I realize I'm sticking out like a sore thumb here. And I'm going out of my way to maybe increase my threat level too much. But I know at least I'm going to be safe for at least one, the next round. And maybe that's all I need, especially in a new era where things are moving so quickly. It's only 26 days. There are challenges, tribal councils. Like, there are things constantly happening. People are losing votes, getting advantages in the mix. Like, all she needs is to last one more cycle, one more tribal. And when you look at her big moves, she felt like she was really thinking ahead. So maybe she shouldn't. I mean, the Saul thing, it's like, that's a big episode for her, big move. That probably is her downfall as well. But I don't know if you could also sit there and say, okay, if she kind of plays low key, is she ever going to actually win? I don't know. It's tough to figure all that out. But you see what I'm saying? She, especially on that Saul one, she knew that Kyle and Gabe would still be there. There would still be five, whatever that blue tribe was, I forget. But there would still be five of the blue tribe left at final 9. Right, that was the number, because we said Saul went home at final 10. So like,
he went home at final 10. Yeah,
he went home at final. So that's too threatening to leave those people. They're not coming for your Genevieve right after she makes this move, and she knows that. Now, how does she bring that into 50? Not sure, but to me, that's what I gathered. Like, she's very precise.
And I think that the Saul move is a great example of what I think we're going to see from Genevieve on this season, because like you're saying, we see her looking further into the future, but also she was able to play early on without having much of a target. The Keyshawn boot, it was amazing. She gets Rome to play a steal a vote. Teeny didn't have a vote there, but ultimately Genevieve really was, you know, kind of behind the scenes a little bit still. Once she made the move on Saul, everybody knew what was coming for the rest of the game, right? It was very clear what was going to happen. So for the rest of that season, she goes to 5 more tribal councils. She gets a vote at 4 of them. So she does start to pick up heat, but she also survives 4 of those 5 tribal councils. So I think she's somebody who's had to play with the target and had to figure out how to get away from things and has done a pretty good job of navigating. Because I remember when that episode happened, I mean, we're sitting here going, she's done. Maybe she gets one more week, but she's going to be done at 8. And she goes all the way to final 5. And, you know, maybe she wins an immunity challenge and maybe she's your winner of the season.
Oh, she absolutely was. I mean, once you get to final 5 of New Era season, yeah, you're one immunity challenge away from at least having a shot in fire. So she was definitely in the mix. And then didn't she did something with her. I mean, she like made up she had an idol a little bit. Like there is this Genevieve idol that existed as this just completely fake story floating around. And then by the time Teeny realized it was fake, Genevieve was like, oh, yeah, it is fake. And then Teeny still couldn't even believe her, even though Genevieve was being completely honest. From a character standpoint, I know when we think of Genevieve, it's like strategy, 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 just total assassin out there. But I'm kind of thinking that she's going to get a Spencer treatment on 50, where in season 28, Spencer's first season, he's this strategic force, even though he's not really, he plays from the bottom. But this is what the show is telling us. Again, what the show tells us isn't always what happens. And Spencer's arc is like to a T, a perfect example of that.
Yeah.
And then he goes on Second Chance and his story that they're trying to develop for him. And like they do this, they, especially on a returning season or a season like Second Chance, they are interviewing the players and the story producers are thinking about this. Like what story are we telling with this person? And with Spencer, it's like, you treat everyone like a chess piece. You're a game bot. You need to be more social. You need to open up to people. And like, that's what you're going to change now that you're playing a second time. And it's funny because Spencer in Cagayan, he gets fourth place and everyone says, Spencer, you get to the end, you're getting the whole jury's votes. Mm-hmm. He gets to the end in Second Chance and doesn't get a single vote because they said he was kind of, he treated everyone like a game piece and that he was a little cocky and he was all strategy and he wasn't really that human. I feel like for Genevieve, there's going to be an effort made to really humanize her or make her relationships with others be very paramount and at least important to her own story or her own arc, depending on how far she goes. Like if she goes home early, they can't really develop an arc for her. But if she is a significant force on this game, that's what Survivor is going to lean into because that's what they left us with Genevieve. They left us with somebody who is coming in wanting to play a strategic game, does play a strategic game, but feels like she didn't come out with the right relationships, that she didn't feel she was connecting with people and that she played such a hard strategic game that a lot of people kind of like were afraid of her. Like she kind of ostracized herself from the tribe and that like she said it so many times that Keyshawnvo, when Keyshawn looked at her and said, I trusted you, Genevieve, like it hit her hard. And I wonder how that will impact Genevieve on 50.
I think she's going to play looser. And I agree with your assessment there of what the story is going to be, because it was her fighting with, I can't come out here and make friends and hurt them. I need to come out here and treat them all as chess pieces, like you're saying. So you said you compared it to Spencer, but it's almost the opposite of Spencer, right? Like it almost feels like she's doing the reverse arc of Spencer coming into the season, where we've already seen her treat people as chess pieces. Now we get to see her be a little bit more human, whereas Spencer.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but that's what the show told us Spencer was doing, even though that wasn't the case. That's true. What the show was feeding us, at least.
Mm-hmm.
That Spencer was going to play more social, that he was going to be more human and more endearing, even though he was way more endearing and way more social in his first season.
Yeah, that's true. And so, I mean, all of Genevieve's cast absolutely loves her, even though she, you know, played where everybody was a little bit of a chess piece and stuff. I mean, everybody from her cast says, this is mother. She's going to win. You know, you're hearing this stuff nonstop. But do you think that it's going to hurt her that she's the only person from season 47? Because we've been talking a lot about connections. Alexa and I did a cast connections podcast on all of these, everything you need to know is it's who do they know? Who have they hung out with? You know, what era did they play? Genevieve's in the era, but she's also up in Canada. She doesn't really come to as many events and nobody from her season is on this season. Do you think that's going to kill her and make it harder for her and almost revert back to what she was in 47?
Yes, I think Genevieve is absolutely fighting an uphill battle, not only because she's from Canada or maybe not in the community, but like not having at least one person on your cast is kind of like, I don't know. We saw that worked in Heroes Villains. Like we're doing that now on the Patreon. It's like that did not work out for a lot of people. So it is a little bit different now. It's easier to connect with people who aren't on your seasons, but That's part of the, and I hate to bring up the casting and not be excited about it, but like, well, look, we're 13 minutes into this, Phil. I had to mention a flaw in the Survivor 50 cast. Like, to have one person from the first four seasons of the new era, and then like season 47 is one of the most loved seasons of the new era, I think.
Right? It was voted the top one, number one, by Rob's Fact Checker, who puts all that stuff out. Rob's Fact Checker did the vote to all the fans and stuff, and it was voted the top one. So to have one player, I get where you're going. It's
top
crazy.
One is insane, and to have three from one season when the era only has nine to choose from, and really it only should have eight to choose from, to put two people on who the fans haven't, you don't even know how the fans are going to react to those two people. You haven't edited the episodes yet by the time you're casting those players. I mean, that's a really big risk. It's like, to me, that is kind of another flaw in the casting. And it, honestly, it's the same thing on the old school side. It's just like having these big groups of people from certain seasons leaving big gaps. I do think that makes it harder for anyone that finds themselves not grouped up with other people. Like, I think the David versus Goliath people are going to have an advantage because there's three of them. I think the 48 people are going to have an advantage because there's three of them. I don't know. Maybe
even if they all start on Emily different tribes, though, because that could be the equalizer. No, like Genevieve is going to be on a tribe with nobody from her season. Maybe none of these people are either.
Yeah, and you could also argue, look, they're going to say, oh, Genevieve's less of a threat because she doesn't have anyone from her season, so there's less room for her to make connections if we swap or merge and all that. Sure, but like, I don't know. We're starting with three tribes of eight. You know, we're going to probably go to two tribes at some point. We might go from three tribes to two tribes to three tribes before we even merge. Like, we have a lot of people. We have a lot of votes to get through. I imagine it's going to be pretty messy and chaotic. I think the connections are going to come into play quicker than we think, even if they do start, you know, everyone is somehow on a tribe. There's no one who's played together, which is that even possible? I'm sure it is.
Especially yeah, we kind of figured out how you could do that where nobody's played together. You would just have to put like Colby and you could put like Suri and Coach on the same tribe because they never actually talked to each other. You know, they competed against each other, but that was really it.
That would be, you'd have to do that though.
I think you have to, with Suri, there's at least one person that she has been on a season with or she'd have to be on a tribe with.
Got you. Yeah. I mean, it's her fifth time. So.
Makes sense.
Yeah,
it makes sense. And the problem is with Ozzy and Aubrey, they all played together, so that's where it's tough. But I want to talk about some of Genevieve's challenge stuff here, right? Because not really known for challenges, but I think still worth bringing up. So Genevieve won two individual challenges. So she won the reward/immunity at final six, if I'm not mistaken, right? Is that the one that she won? Let me see.
You tell me. You wanted to talk about challenges. I don't know if talking about challenges.
No, so she did. She won it at final six, and that's when Andy went home. So I just wanted to bring that up because there's very few people on this season who have like no challenge prowess. And I think it's worth bringing it up with Genevieve because even though her tribe was the one that lost more often in the pre-merge portion, Genevieve's solid at challenges. So maybe that could help her being that she's mid-30s, has done this style of challenge. You know, I've talked a lot about how much I'm, you know, expecting good things from Jenna Lewis. She's never done a challenge like this. I mean, I was watching a Jenna Lewis episode the other day where she's just running after Jervis in the woods and they're connected to something and you don't even realize that the challenge is almost over because Jeff's not saying anything. Genevieve's done these types of challenges and she's had success. So I just thought that that was worth bringing up in this thing. And she was on a season with some good challenge competitors. She didn't win any until it was down to really her and Rachel were the only two left because Sam wasn't really winning much at all.
Yeah, I think the overall point that the new era players, and especially like the recent new era players, like the challenges have gotten so like they're pretty, you know what you're getting. And so to have played through the, I'm sure there's going to be repeats that she's done that have like, she's done the exact challenge and that will for sure help her. Yeah. She's athletic. She's 34. Did we cover that? I mean, you said the most important things we need to know her age. That's actually surprising to me. For whatever reason, I thought she would be a little bit older because she's got a very like calm, cool, mature way about her. And that means whenever season 47 shot, she was only 33 years old.
She turned 33 on the beach in that season.
So she started that season 32?
Yeah.
That's surprising. Does that not surprise you?
It doesn't. It doesn't. I think what's funny, Will, is that just kind of comes down to our personalities now that we're both in our early 30s. When you said she's calm and more mature, you probably don't see yourself much as a 33-year-old maybe sometimes. So maybe that's
what you're talking about.
It surprises you that she's 1 year older than you because of how she was. But she was so calculating. There was, I agree with you, maturity is probably the word, but there was a different level, especially with the cast that she was on, where it felt like she was like the mom of the tribe in terms of she kept everybody in line when it came to votes and stuff. It's not that she was running around bossing people around or being the actual mom, but she was keeping people in line. She was the one who always kind of had her finger on the pulse, where other people on that season, like Rome, like Gabe, maybe even like Andy, were playing so all over the place and maybe playing a little bit more aggressively. They were playing a little bit less mature, for lack of a better word, than she was. So I get where you're coming from with this.
Yeah, no, she had a presence about her that feels wise, you know, wiser beyond her years.
Yes, and certainly wiser than both of us, despite the fact that barely 6 months separate us. Who do you think Genevieve would be best off aligning with from this cast?
You know, Ceri, maybe? Like, someone similar to her, but someone that has a higher pedigree than her. Maybe you get, like, Ceri and Aubrey somehow. And they have, like, a strategic force of women. Wouldn't the internet love to see that?
Probably.
But like, yeah, I think Genevieve definitely needs to surround herself with big names. I know that's like no duh. It's Survivor 50. There should be plenty of big names, but maybe there aren't. Like I don't know if Angelina is the right person for her to align with. I think she will always be a bigger threat than Angelina. Maybe someone like Chrissy. New era wise, I already mentioned Emily. Maybe someone like Kyle and D, like get in with the winners, almost like treat yourself as a winner or think of yourself in that same tier of player. Because I think that's how the rest of the cast is going to treat you. Maybe not to the extent of D and Kyle fully, like, they've already won $1 million. They don't need the money or like that added kind of winner stuff. But in terms of like who is very capable at getting to the end and winning, like Genevieve's name is in that first tier. So yeah. I imagine that's how people will treat her. So she should surround herself with threats. Absolutely.
It's a weird cast for her. I've talked a lot about how I feel, you know, it could be a good cast for a Colby or a Joe or a Jonathan, because there's so many of these physical players. You know, even Chrissy was a very physical player, despite the fact that she's older now and you might not see her that way. But there's a lot of these more less strategy, more physical. And Genevieve's in this weird spot where you start to name the people and I start saying, but would they really put her on a tribe starting with that person? Would they put her on a starting tribe with that person? And then it starts to get tough. Like if they were to break this down the way I think they're going to, which, you know, maybe they don't, but if they were to do two post 40 men, two post 40 women, two pre 40 men, two pre 40 women on each tribe, the worst one for Genevieve is Tiffany. Which for some, it might be great. I'll work with Tiffany. Tiffany will try to use me as a shield and let's keep going. But Tiffany offers nothing to Genevieve out of the new era women. Camilla, D, and who am I missing? Oh, and Emily. Savannah, who we don't know. Camilla and D are better for Genevieve, though, out of those new era women. I guess I'm missing more than that. Who else?
Emily.
Emily would be great for Genevieve.
I think Emily would be perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I had this thought, Phil, and I could be, maybe you've mentioned it. We did a podcast, I think it was a Patreon podcast, like years ago. Like this is when you and Alexa were fully going. I came in to like do a guest.
Oh, you Patreon did the podcast. Will Goal Room.
I don't remember the Will Goal. I kind of remember the phrase. I barely remember the Will Goal Room. That's funny. I think we did at some point a season where we said it was like an outwit versus outplay versus outlast tribes. And we have 24 players, three tribes. Could this be outwit versus outplay versus outlast for season 50?
I think that they should have done a full tribe of winners if they were going to do outlast, but there are enough people who made it to final tribal council they could do it.
Yeah. And I think there's enough outplay. Maybe this is a podcast we do at some point. I know we've got so many podcasts going on, but like we split the 24 into 8, 8, and 8 for outwit, outplay, outlast.
That could be fun.
I think like Genevieve's fully in the outwit section.
Yeah, I mean, she's definitely not in the outplay or outlast because she didn't win, but I like
outlast. I think, yeah, there's enough people that are just final tribal losers would be like the outlast, or maybe you put Kyle and you know, I don't think you don't want to start them on the. You put Dion on outwit, and maybe you put Kyle.
I think you put Dion outplay and Kyle on outwit.
Yeah, you could do that too.
Yeah, I like that idea though. What else about Genevieve here? I'm just looking. People always like to talk about how many times did somebody vote correctly, and I think it matters with Genevieve because she was in control of so many of the votes with Asia and Keyshawn and Rome. So she voted correctly at every single tribal council, with the exception of when Andy went home because Rachel played her idol, and then when she went home. So she went to a bunch of tribals and she was always voting on the right side of things. She always knew what was going on. So even when she was a threat, people weren't leaving her out, or at least not enough people were leaving her out, because obviously Operation Italy, they were actually outnumbered 4-3, but they figured out how to split that. So she was always in the know at every vote, except for when she went home.
And even then, I think she expected to go home.
Yeah, she did.
It's not like she was blindsided.
Yeah. The whole first half of that episode is, dang, this stinks. I wish Teenie would have been able to team up with Genevieve and make this happen. So, What else do you want to talk about with Genevieve? Normally, these are like 20 to 30. So, you know,
right now, I mean, I'm excited to see her play, but I think this is not overall, I'd say like this is like not a good season for her to return on, honestly. It feels a little too soon. It feels premature. The cast honestly doesn't feel like it's up to her level of play, if I'm being honest. Mm-hmm. Maybe she just needed some more time to cool off. I don't think she had only one season has aired since they went to shoot this season. That doesn't help her. So while I'm excited that Genevieve is one of the very few New Era people that I'm like, I need to see her play again. I'm a huge fan. You look at the circumstances, it's going to be extremely difficult for Genevieve. I would be surprised if she makes a deep run. And that's kind of unfortunate, because when you get someone like Genevieve back on your screen, you want that possibility. You want that to be like a possible reality. And it's just, to me, with this cast and her threat level, it doesn't seem possible. And I know I always bring up the example, somehow Tony winning Winners at War. There is that caveat of that season where everyone's a winner. Everyone's a threat. There's shields all around. Like, I can't look at this cast and be like, oh, there are shields everywhere. It's Survivor 50. There's so many. Like, Jenna Lewis, I'm sorry. Like, that's cool. She's season one, not a shield. Mike White, what a celebrity stunt casting. That's kind of funny. That's kind of cool. He's not a shield. He's not that big of a threat. Aubrey. Fourth time playing. Does she still have the threat level that she carried after Korong? Not at all. You look at this cast, you look around, and they're like, there's not a lot of places to hide for someone like Genevieve, and it's somewhat disappointing.
Yeah. No, I feel that. So I guess my question then won't be, how do you think she'll do? Because you explained that well. My question is, do you think that if Genevieve has a poor run here, there's a world in which she goes the Rob Sister and Jenna Maraska route of we all kind of not forget about her, but Survivor forgets about her and she doesn't get another chance on a New Era All-Stars or something like that in the future? Or do you think that she has enough pedigree coming in that even if she goes out early, she's still going to be somebody that Survivor's clamoring to have come back?
I think no matter what she does, I think she'll have enough pedigree to come back again. Now, we don't know when the next returning player season. If they wait till 60, then probably not. You're probably not bringing anyone back from 50 if you're waiting. But I mean, if Survivor does want to do what they've done in the past, if they want to create stars that play three times over the course of 5 or 6 seasons, like, they need to do more returning seasons. They just have to. And if that seems to be the goal, it seems to be like a push came from someone at CBS, or maybe Jeff wisened up. Something happened where this was going to be very, very old school, and someone said, no, we need to create New Era stars. And the way to create stars is through playing multiple times. So I can very much see a world where, I mean, we just talked about, we're just doing Heroes versus Villains now, and Tyson is an absolute star. standout on Token Chains. He is unheard. You don't hear from him barely at all on Heroes vs. Villains, and he goes out. And then he comes back seven seasons later and wins the damn show. So, like, that I can totally see for Genevieve, where you know, okay, she was a big threat or she didn't have a good run, especially in a cast with 24 players. Some of these people are going to get absolutely lost. The people that go home early are going to be so forgettable, more forgettable than they've ever been. I know you brought up Rob C and All-Stars. Rob C and All-Stars will be way more prevalent than some of the people we see on 50. Mm-hmm. So I think Genevieve did enough in her season 47, her initial appearance, that she can get asked back to play.
I love it. All right. Well, that's everything you need to know about Genevieve.
Everything you need to know. She's 34 years old, and it's pronounced mushaluk. Mushluck. I wish her much luck.
There you go. That's what you need to know about Genevieve. Like this video, subscribe to the channel. Thank you all so much for checking this out. Make sure you check out our defining episode series. Become a patron, patreon.com/thespecialist, and we'll see you next time.
See ya.